Wherever you are this morning, good morning. It's so good to be with you today. You are absolutely amazing. You are a radiant expression of the Bride of Christ, and I can't wait to be with you again when we start meeting together again. And if you're watching on the CW today, we're so glad you're joining us today. Welcome. We pray that God would really speak to you from His Word this morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, we're in a series called Street Smarts. It's a study in the book of Proverbs, and essentially it's talking about applying God's truth in real life, learning to live God's way. And if we ever needed to know how to live God's way, it's today. And last weekend, Dusty Hoffman did an amazing job of sharing with us that right out of the gate in Proverbs chapter 1, where it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This whole wisdom thing, this whole street smarts thing begins with having an awe and a reverence for God. And he said it can be summed up in two words: seeing God. And Dusty did an amazing job last weekend of helping us see God in all of His power and all of His glory and yet in all of His compassion. And so every week we're gonna preach a text in Proverbs from the previous week's reading. And last week we were supposed to be reading chapters 26 through chapter 2. And today I'm going to be teaching from chapter 30 and talking about wisdom that comes from self-awareness. Wisdom that comes from self-awareness. Let's pray together. God, I pray this morning you would open our hearts by the Holy Spirit to the truth of your word. I pray that our minds would be fastened on your word today, God. I pray that our hearts would be locked in to your truth. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would awaken us to the reality of this truth, that we can walk in the wisdom of God, not as fools, but as wise people in this generation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Self-awareness, it's the ability to accurately assess our personality, our feelings, and our behaviors. In other words, self-awareness is seeing who I really am, both good and bad. And self-awareness, this understanding of who we really are, is crucial to success in life. A lack of self-awareness contributes to failing marriages. I can't tell you how many times I've sat in my office with couples that are struggling in marriage, and they're not even aware of the way they're speaking to one another. They're not aware of the fact that they're interrupting each other in mid-sentence. They're not understanding or aware of the tone or the harshness with which they speak to each other or their defensiveness. A lack of self-awareness can contribute to a failing marriage. People don't get hired for jobs or don't receive promotions in the workplace because of a lack of self-awareness. A lack of self-awareness means that you don't see what other people see in you. True story. A few years ago here in Sioux Falls, I'm in the drive-thru of McDonald's, and I'd already paid, I was gonna get my food, and I had an apple, and I was eating an apple, and right before I got to the window to get my food, I took a huge bite out of that apple, and it was super juicy, and it kind of exploded all over. And I could feel the juice kind of running down my mouth. So quickly, I put the apple down and tried to wipe my face and got to the window. And the lady there was making conversation with me and giving me my drink and my food. And I wasn't thinking anything about it. And she had a little bit of a strange look on her face, but that's okay. Sometimes they do. And I'm kind of a weird person. So I drove off. And as I drove off, I looked in the rearview mirror. And I had a massive chunk of apple stuck up in my nostril. Now, I can fit a lot of apple in my nostril. It's pretty big, y'all. And as I drove away, I'm thinking to myself, what are they saying right now? Like, check that. Did you see the apple in that dude's nose? Like, he didn't even know it. He had no clue. He had a hunk of apple in his nose. And friends, the reality is some of you right now have a huge chunk of apple in your nose, and you don't even know it. You don't even have a rear view mirror to look into, and yet it's there, and everyone else sees it, maybe except for you. It's crucial to have self-awareness, because if we don't see our deficiencies, we won't turn to God for help. And that's the whole message of the book of Proverbs, is we need to walk in wisdom. We need to walk God's way, and so we need to see our deficiencies so that we can lean into Him. As you walk away today, here's what I want you to remember. Wise people compensate for their weakness. Wise people compensate for their weakness. In other words, they're self-aware. If you have your Bibles in Proverbs chapter 30, I'm going to begin reading in verse 24. Solomon says, there are four things that are small on the earth, but they're exceedingly wise. Say exceedingly wise. The ants are not a strong people, but they prepare their food in the summer. The Shephanim, or the rock badgers, are not mighty people, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king or leader or commander, yet all of them go out in ranks. The lizard you may grasp with the hands, yet lizards are found in kings' palaces. Proverbs 30, 24 to 28. Each of these creatures in this text has deficiencies, and yet the text says they're exceedingly wise. Why? Because they realize their deficiencies and they find a way to compensate for them. Now, in each example that we're going to look at today with these four creatures, we're going to be taught both an earthly or some human wisdom, and we're also going to be taught spiritual wisdom. The first is the ants. Ants are exceedingly wise because they prepare for the future. Ants are wise because they prepare for the future. They don't procrastinate. They don't wait until the very last minute and then hope that things are going to work out. The verse 24 says, the ants are not a strong people, but they prepare their food in the summer. You see, ants hibernate during the winter. The weakness of the ant is they can't gather food while they're hibernating. That's why they have to gather it in the summer. See, ants store away food in the summer so they have enough in the winter during hibernation. Ants store food in their what's called their crop, which is the round ball-shaped section of their body. And they draw nutrition from this food source, this food supply, during the time of hibernation. Without this supply of food in their crop, the ant would die. So what do ants do? They plan ahead. They prepare for the future. Procrastination for the ant would mean death. Let me say that again. If an ant procrastinates gathering food for the winter, he dies. See, wise people identify potential future problems and they prepare for them. Wise people anticipate future problems and they make preparation for them. Fools, on the other hand, wait until the last minute and often suffer the consequences. So I was a high school teacher, and wise students that I had didn't wait till the last minute to do the work. I would give assignments. I'd create a project. Maybe it was a 3-week project. Maybe it was a 4-week project. I'd go over the different aspects of the project. There was always a written portion and then always a creative portion they had to put together. And I shared with them as we gave this assignment that if the assignment is late, they lose one grade value for every day that it's late. They knew that going in. Inevitably, I had a few students come to me on the day that the assignment was due. And they said, Mr. Wheeler, you're not going to believe it. I said, yes, I'd probably believe it. Tell me. They said, my printer broke last night, and I was unable to hand my assignment in. I said, that's no problem at all. All that's going to happen is you're going to lose one full grade for every day that it's late. And they say, no, you don't understand. My printer broke. There was nothing I could do. I couldn't control it. And I said, no, you could have controlled it. If you would have tried your printer one day before and found out that it wasn't working, you could have gone to Kinko's. You could have gone somewhere else and printed out your report, but you didn't. And they said, Mr. Wheeler, that's not fair. I said, we've talked about this. You know that it's fair. I said, here's the good news. If you were an ant, you'd be dead. But because you're just a student, you just get one grade value off for every day that it's late. Wise people plan ahead and prepare for unexpected delays. So you're a young family at Central, and you've got two or three kids, and they're young, and one's in diapers, and you're getting ready for church, and you think, we're going to get there on time this week. We're going to get there on time this week. We're going to get there on time this week. So you get everybody fed, you get everybody dressed, and you get everybody out into the minivan, and you're locking your little Jewel in, that little girl, you're locking her into the car seat, and you get her fastened in, and all of a sudden, she explodes her diaper. And you're like, what am I going to do now? So you unbuckle her. You take her back in the house. You change the diaper. Maybe you have to change the clothes. You get her back in the car and you get to church late. Just tell the person next to you, pastor says wise people get to church on time. Come on, somebody. Because they prepare and plan for unexpected problems that could arise. The ant is wise because he meal preps in the summer. When winter comes, it's too late. There's also a spiritual, not just an earthly lesson with the ant. The Bible says that when we die, it's too late to prepare for eternity. And fools don't plan for eternity. As the ant prepares for winter, we are supposed to plan ahead for our eternity. You see, to store up food is to choose to have a relationship with Christ before you die, or it's too late. As we look at the ant this morning, the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we wise and are we preparing for eternity? Or are we foolish and procrastinating that decision? So, friend, are you ready to face God today? The ant is ready because he's preparing for his future. There's another spiritual application of the ant, and it's gathering spiritual food before you actually need it. You see, wise people store up God's word in their heart and in their life before hard times come, so that when hard times come, they're prepared, they have a foundation. In the last couple of months, I've been in relationship with three couples that have had babies die, either at birth or shortly after. As I listened to these couples share at the memorial service, I was astounded at the maturity in their lives, the foundation in Christ that they had. See, they had been faithfully storing up spiritual food all along so that when a crisis hit, it didn't destroy them. When the crisis hit, there was a foundation in their lives. They had been spiritually gaining maturity and food so that when hard times hit, and they will, they were spiritually ready. Friend, are you preparing for the day of tragedy? Are you preparing for the day that's difficult in your life by establishing a spiritual foundation now so that you're ready when it comes? Like the ant, wise people compensate for their weakness. The second animal that we see here are rock badgers. And rock badgers are exceedingly wise because they seek outside protection. See, the weakness of rock badgers is that they can't defend themselves against larger predators. They're slow. They're not very nimble. Rock badgers find protection in natural crevices between rocks. They're aware of their vulnerability, and they seek existing structures for protection. See, the larger predators, they can't get into those small crevices between the rocks like the rock badgers can. Verse 26 says, the rock badgers are not mighty, yet they make their houses in the rocks. Hiding in the safety of existing rocks is a picture for us of seeking wise counsel from other people. Wise people avoid destruction by hiding in the rocks of mentors in their lives. So newlyweds, if you're newly married, my encouragement is surround yourself with couples who have thriving marriages. Hide yourself in the rock of their experience. If you're an entrepreneur, find protection in the counsel of successful business owners. Hide in the rock of their wisdom. If you're a young parent, seek the safety of parents who have raised great kids, the kind of kids that you want to raise. Hide in the rock of their experience, like the rock badger. I have a friend in California. His name's Tom. He's another pastor. He's a few years older than me. And when I don't know what to do, I try to hide in the rock of Tom's wisdom. And few years ago, I called him and I said, hey, Tom, there's just something going on with my board. Let me tell you what's going on, our elder board. And I shared with him. And at the end of that conversation, I said, Tom, my board is just out of their mind. And Tom said, Jeff, actually, you're out of your mind. The elders are right, and you're foolish for taking that course of action. By listening to a rock badger who understood what the safety of the rock was, I was able to avoid a disaster because I was mentored by someone that understood where I was going. Like the rock badgers, wise people live in the rocks of other people's success. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans go wrong for lack of advice, but many advisors bring success. The spiritual lesson of the rock badger is that sin is a predator that we can't overcome on our own. Only Christ's forgiveness through the cross can deliver us from God's judgment. You see, Jesus Christ is the rock that saves us from God's wrath because of our sin. Psalm 18, verses 2 and 3 says, the Lord is my rock, amen? The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He's my shield. He's the power that saves me and my place of safety. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there is salvation in no one else except Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved. No other rock can save us from sin except Jesus Christ. See, Jesus compensates for our greatest weakness, which is sin that has separated us from God. And there's no good work, there's no human effort, there's no attending church enough that can deliver you from the power of sin and judgment. Only faith in the finished work of Christ. Are you hiding yourself in the rock of Jesus Christ, the only source of salvation? You see, like rock badgers, wise people compensate for their weakness. They hide in the rock. The third creature we see in this text in Proverbs 30 are locusts. And it says that locusts are exceedingly wise because their motivation is internal. The weakness of the locust is they have no one telling them what to do. They have no king guiding them and commanding them. Their motivation for life has to come from within. You see, wise people are self-motivated. Verse 27, the locusts have no king, no commander, no leader, yet all of them go out in ranks. They fulfill their purpose. They fulfill their mission without a leader, without a commander, without a king telling them or commanding them what to do. Without being commanded by anyone, they fulfill their purpose. Is that true of you, friend? If we need someone else constantly motivating us and barking at us, we will never be successful in life. If your mom has to wake you up every morning to get you going, you'll never be successful. If you only work hard when your coach is yelling at you, you'll never be successful. See, wise people do what's right without being scolded or told what to do. Hear that, young people? Wise people, like the locust, are self-motivated. They don't need a teacher or a parent or a coach on their back all the time in order to do what they're supposed to do and to succeed. Do you know the Proverbs are written to young people so they can live a life of success in this life? So young people, be like the locust. From junior high on, I wanted to play college basketball. That was a goal of mine. That was success for me, was to play at that level. And as I grew up through high school, I lived about three blocks from the school. Our gym was open in the summer during the day. Just open gym. Anybody could come in and shoot. Anybody could come in and play, do whatever they wanted to do. I had no one telling me what to do. My mom didn't get me up in the morning. My coach didn't call me, telling me, hey, are you going to come to the gym today? There was something internal, something that drove me toward working out regularly in order to get to the next level. There was an internal motivation. Now, I'm not great but I did get a college scholarship because I wasn't dependent on other people saying, hey, you should probably go play basketball today. There was an inner drive that pushed me toward that. The spiritual lesson of the locust is that as Christians, like the locust, we have an internal voice. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of us. John 14, 25 and 26 says, I, meaning Jesus is speaking, I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you, while Jesus was still on the earth before he went back to heaven. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. Jesus is talking about the learned habit of listening for the inward guidance of the Holy Spirit every day. The habit of listening to the King inside of us. The habit of walking through our day, following the inward motivation of the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says, but you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true and is not a lie. Do you understand what that text is saying, friends? If you're a Christ follower and you have the Holy Spirit, all day long, the Holy Spirit is leading you into truth. He's teaching you right and wrong. You don't need someone to tell you what's right and wrong. If you have the indwelling Holy Spirit, no matter how old you are, you have a counselor living inside of you. You have a mentor living inside of you. And as you go through your day, there's this learned habit of wisdom that we follow the voice of the Holy Spirit through our lives. There's no excuse. There's really no excuse for moral failure because we have the voice of morality inside of us. Like the locust, we fulfill the purpose of God for our lives because the Holy Spirit is in us, teaching us and motivating us. The fourth and last creature in this text in Proverbs 30 is the lizard. And lizards are exceedingly wise because they avoid obvious danger. See, lizards have blind spots, and they can be snuck up on easily and caught. Lizards tend to trust their camouflage, and therefore they allow people to get a little too close to them. A king's palace afforded a lizard high walls where they couldn't be reached. Verse 28, the lizard you may grasp with the hands, yet lizards are found in king's palaces. Think of that. Slow of foot, blind spot, easily captured, and yet they find themselves, they live in the palace of kings. You see, lizards know their weaknesses. So instead of hanging around in dangerous places, the lizard hides in the safety of the king's palace. Let me ask you this morning, do you avoid morally dangerous people in your life? Or do you hang around with people that you shouldn't hang around with in places that you shouldn't hang around? Do you hang around inappropriate sites on your computer or your phone? If you have a problem with gossip, do you hang around people that gossip? If you have a problem with alcohol, do you hang around people that drink too much? If you have a problem with drugs, do you hang around with people that are going to tempt you toward drugs? If you have a problem with overeating and under-exercising, do you hang around with people that are committed to fitness and health or people that are not? This is a lesson that was a difficult one for me as I was growing up through high school, and I really failed at it because in high school I made choices to hang around with people in places that I shouldn't have, and it cost me. As I got a little bit older and a little bit wiser in walking with God, I realized that my friends are my destiny. My friends are my destiny. Show me someone's friends and I'll show you their destiny. Show me who someone hangs around with and I'll show you what they're going to become. See, Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. What a great lesson for the young person. I failed at it. I'm counseling you not to fail at it. to put yourself around people that are going in the same positive direction as you are. Hang around in places that are safe for you in terms of your purpose and your plan. Self-awareness means running from what easily traps you, like the lizard. Run from those things that could catch you in a snare. Proverbs 22:3 says, "The prudent, the wise, sees danger and takes refuge. But the simple keep going and pay the penalty. They suffer for it. The wise see danger and hide themselves. They take refuge. The foolish keep going and suffer the penalty." The spiritual lesson of the lizard is that we are to live in the king's palace instead of the gutter. Life is full of temptations, and we need to run to the safety of God's presence, godly people, and safe places. The lizard puts himself in a fortuitous situation. He puts himself in a safe place. Are you doing the same thing? I shared with you at the very beginning that there's both earthly and spiritual wisdom in these teachings. For us as Christians, it's not enough to just walk in earthly wisdom, human wisdom, because the spiritual wisdom has eternal implications. Earthly wisdom is demonstrated when we get our work done in advance, when we seek the counsel of others, when we motivate ourselves towards success, and when we run from dangerous influences. Spiritual wisdom, on the other hand, is demonstrated by those who plan for eternity, who hide their lives in Christ's salvation, who listen to the Holy Spirit, and who avoid the dangers of sin. Friend, where are you at today? As you think about eternity, are you like the ant or are you like the fool? Do you keep saying, yeah, one of these days, I'll finally get around to saying, you know, yes to God? Friend, today's the day. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day of redemption. You don't know, the Bible says, what a day may bring forth. You need to prepare for your eternity now. You need to hide yourself in the rock of Christ where he can deliver you from sin's power. Right now, see, friend, there's a rock badger. I'm sorry, there's a predator, and you're the rock badger, and he is wanting to devour you. And if you're not hidden in Christ, you will eternally perish. I'd like to pray with you this morning. If you need to find the wisdom of the ant and the rock badger, and don't put this decision off. Around here, we say that decision is as easy as A, B, C. A, you need to admit that you've sinned. That's simple. I've sinned against God, I've broken his law, and I stand condemned before him. B, you need to believe that Jesus Christ was God, that he came to the earth in the form of a man, that he hung on a cross and died for your sin, and because he was sinless, he took your sin and your penalty on himself. And you have to ask him to forgive you today. And C, you have to commit to following Christ. Friend, the fear of the Lord, walking with God, is the beginning of a life of wisdom. And you can start that right now. If you want to begin that life of wisdom with God, you don't know what your eternity is going right now. Would you pray with me right now? And just say, God, I know that I've sinned against you. I confess that. I feel guilty when I do, and I'm sorry. And Jesus, I believe that you're God's son, that you went to the cross for me, that you died so that I could be brought back into a relationship with God. Jesus, would you forgive me of my sin? I put my trust in you right now. And Lord, I commit right now to walking with you. I commit to following you the best of my ability, Lord. I want you to be the leader of my life. I give you the reins right now. Now, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Save me and give me the power of your presence. So when I get tempted, I can run to the king's palace and find freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to continue in worship. And if you just made that decision, I want you to tell somebody, I just prayed and received Christ into my life. So as we journey through the book of Proverbs, Solomon would say, choose wisdom. Don't choose foolishness, choose wisdom. Choose the wisdom of the ant. Choose the wisdom of the rock badger. Choose the wisdom of the locust, and choose the wisdom of the lizard. I want to just share a blessing over you and thank you for joining us this morning, and continue reading in the book of Proverbs this week. May you walk in wisdom by living today with eternity in mind. May Jesus Christ be the rock of your salvation. May you listen to the voice of the King within you. And may you avoid the influence of sin by living in the palace of the King. God bless you.